Northwood Football Coaches Show. Northwood will send the house. Snap good, hold good, the kick, it's blocked! And the Timberwolves will win it! And holding it high over his head is Ace Thomas. Live from Frick's Sports Bar in Midland on Sports Radio 100.9, The Mitt.
And welcome to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. I'm Travis McCurdy, joined by the coughing issue. Dusty, can we get a medical update on your cough right now?
We're about week five in. I'm not sure yet. We'll get it checked out here.
Now, is this a sickness or football? I'm screaming a lot, or a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B?
My wife's sitting over here. It's about every season this time, right?
Yeah.
It's a chronic late year cough that comes and
it's
goes.
Almost like you've been screaming since August and now it's November and
very calm.
Yes. Very calm. We're here at Frick's as we are almost every week. I'd like to thank Frick's for hosting us. This week we've got senior wide receiver Mark Toko, and then of course I will say Autumn Hagedorn. I had to pre-record with her earlier today, and she said very nice things about you too.
She's a phenomenal.
I know you said really nice things about her. But then she did say in the interview that she felt bad that you said that she's one of your favorite people, and she did not go that far. So she feels like you outdid her.
That's tough. I guess we all got to reevaluate.
We all got to reevaluate where we stand in life. Yeah. But we'll have that coming up in a little bit.
Ladies' night.
It is ladies' night. Of course, we got to give our shout-outs to Frick's here. We got a couple shout-outs. We got Frick's. It's ladies' night, half off line, $5 burger night. Great deals.
Mm-hmm.
Midland High,
shout-out Chemex. District finals this week, Saginaw Heritage. Good luck to Coach Wellman and the boys.
Now, there's also, like, we have listeners in Saginaw, too, so congrats to Heritage as
well.
Yeah,
and good luck to Heritage as
Heritage well.
Yeah, congrats to them.
And the great, should be a great game.
Coach Thielen's done a great job there, man. I got to watch them play a couple times this year, and I think they're starting to hit a stride here at the right point of the year. So
yeah, and of course I got to give a shout out to my Flying G's who got a big road win in the UP last week.
Gladwin Flying G's.
Flying onward, Gladwin, fight till the end. Okay, so Coach, we're coming on after I think one of your most complete games you've had in your time at Northwood. Ohio Dominican came in with the same record in the league as you. They played some very tough games. Their defense was right there with you guys in Ashland for best in the league, and 37-10, a really convincing. Great win that you played really well in all three phases.
Yeah, it was good to see. I don't know if Coach Arnold would agree necessarily
I knew it. I was just trying
I think he was hoping for better. It was one of our more complete from an offensive defensive perspective. And honestly, there were some promising things, special teams. It wasn't flawless, obviously, nor was offense or defense. Always ways to get better. Was good to see offensively kind of break out of a little funk, get the ball, hit on some explosives. Brendan Teal obviously had a phenomenal game. The guy here tonight was excellent on the perimeter with his blocking.
Thought he had a touchdown at one point.
Yep. He's a rock-solid guy. Been around him for a long time now, year six. With that young man, Mark Toko, you'll hear from later. Offensive line had their best performance.
Yep.
They were, as a unit, the player, one of the offensive players of the week, along with Teal and Ethan Hamby in his first start at quarterback. He played really well. Like to see us not turn the ball over. It was kind of on a tough deal, RPO, slant away type deal. That's the risk and reward with that stuff. We saw some reward, also had some risk with it, and that went the other way. But the defense did a nice job when they came with that opportunity to stop them. And then defensively, once again, they played another pretty complete game with the exception of one drive in the third quarter or early fourth quarter.
And I know coaches don't want to hear it. The score was 31-3 at that point.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear it, but it's – Yeah, things change a little bit when you get a 28-point lead.
They do, and they shouldn't. human nature can creep in. And I'm not so sure, like, we didn't try to defend. I think there was potentially a missed holding call on the perimeter on that one that would have liked to see called since it was called on us a few times. But other guys need to get to the football and make the play. So, but overall, pretty phenomenal job. I was real proud of the guys, how they came back and got a dub, and now it's time to, you know, it's been a little bit of a gauntlet. That is a very good defense we went against last week. I thought, like I said, we were able to run the ball pretty efficiently. I think we were over 60% in efficiency, and like I say every week, we're trying to be at least 55% plus. So there's some clues to the success of the offense there that we hit on. We didn't have as many explosives as we'd like, but the explosives we did have were touchdowns.
Yep, so. Yep. Well, you look at the final stats, 397 to 166 total yards, rushing 162 to 19. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of good things.
8-yard rush on the last play.
Yep. Yep. And that was the, and that
would have been about 11. So.
Yeah, so but if you look at those two numbers and you won the turnover battle, that's how you get a 27-point win.
Yeah, three picks by the defense. You know, Jackson Price had one. Thought he might go score on it.
And it was close.
He said his legs just kind of went on him during the return, and that's why he made the business decision to go out of bounds. Lorenzo Alford had a tough interception on the other side of the field. It was actually a minus star for him, where we tell guys if you're going to minus, you better star on it. And so he kind of read the quarterback's eyes and rolled out of his coverage, got over top on it, made a play there. And Cole Simpson in man coverage, phenomenal interception. Yep. That he had, reading it, breaking on it, undercutting the route at the right time, and getting us the ball in the plus territory again.
Well, you mentioned a little bit, but you made a quarterback change this week. That's never easy, and went to Ethan Hamby, and he really stepped up and played a great game.
Yeah, he had an opportunity this week, and here's the deal. Like, it's easy to say it was just quarterback. There's a lot of things that we had to get fixed and cleaned up, and so it's not you can't just pinpoint things on one person to say where struggles were or were not. At the end of the day, I mean, Ethan played played an efficient game, did a good job getting out of some pressure situations a couple times, completed on the deep balls and creating those explosives, and helped the offense move the ball efficiently. I thought Coach Mirren did a phenomenal job calling the game, like he has even in weeks we've struggled. It was, you know, we needed to execute at a higher level collectively, offensively, and not turn the ball over, and that was a positive.
Yeah, I got distracted by your son poking the ceiling with his pool cue back there, but we're okay now.
So. Okay, good.
And I mean, we obviously had to talk about Teal because he was unbelievable. I like our huddle auto camera, which means that we can we don't have to have someone filming it.
The one-handed
but
catch
the
on
one-handed
that.
Catch was not caught on the camera, yeah. And we took some social media heat. Nice catch, which we could have seen it. So do we. But what a phenomenal! And really, as well as you were playing, and it's the end of the first half, you get a field goal. It's 17-3. I'm going to say eerily similar to the Lions in a lot of ways.
It was very fast, 10-point swing right there.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Where we get the point, we get the points. Then get a turnover, and then get a touchdown, which is literally exactly what the Lions did at the end of the first half against Green Bay.
They did. And then, you know, we were in in-between world there. I feel like it was like where we had like 49 seconds left when we got the interception. I'm not sure if it was.
Yeah, he scored with 32 on three-play drive, and it was 32 seconds left when he scored.
Yeah, so I remember calling a timeout with about 35 seconds. We were hoping that, you know, it would be quick off, get another play off right after the run. My man Toko got in a little bit of a – there was like a little skirmish.
A little fisticuffs.
The other guy – not Donnybrook, but the guy he was blocking was not appreciative of him blocking. So we took the time out there, and then we're able to come out and score the next play. But, yeah, Brendan Teal has consistently won this year.
Yes.
at this level. I'm not really – people are like, are you surprised? I'm not. I saw him do it before we got up here, and it was – you know, we're hitting on some things with him, and you know, you talked to him last week, but like really proud of his growth from a psychological approach and how he handles the ups and downs and things like that during a game now, and you can see it in his level of play that we're getting consistently week to week.
Well, my SID nerd stats of the week, it was the most yards per receiver in a game since 2001. Mm. Our friend Kyle Colby was a great player, great person. We all love him. The 2005 team that went to the playoffs, won 10 games, didn't have a receiver get 181 yards receiving that season.
You didn't need to with Colby's
no,
legs.
Just you're just running the option. Yep. You are triple optioning you to death. But and Teal also has the most yards receiving at Northwood since 2001 already with the two games to go. So
yeah, and like I think
obviously we got to throw in triple option. There's a lot of great – so anyway, but yes.
I always go with, like, the passing records here, you know, you could use that the first year recruiting. You'd be the all-time passer, and then kids didn't realize, like, oh, it was triple option for so long. But, Teal's had a phenomenal year. He's probably had opportunities for more and, like, just keeps showing up and getting open, and that's all you can do as a receiver, and then catch it if it comes your way, block when you need to block. But he's done a great job of being an absolute weapon for us on offense consistently this year, and that's been every game. It's been week to week. So, honestly, like Saturday we pulled him probably pretty early out of that game, you know, because I was even wondering after the game, I'm like, God, what is the receiving record in the game? I think it's 254 against Saginaw on a 79-49.
A little story time with Uncle T-Mac. I was a Saginaw student. I was on the other sideline.
79-49.
Ron Hunter, Hall of Famer,
yep,
lined up in the slot, go routes, and they just kept throwing over the Saginaw DBs over and over.
I heard a story from Coach Arnold this week that Kyle Colby had told Coach Arnold would be like, they would like score in one play on an option play, and I heard Coach Reitman would run over to him and be like, hey, Colbs, you think we can get him on crack and go yet? And like Colby's like, I don't know. We ran one play, you know. But Coach Reitman was obviously a quarterback.
Yep.
And regardless of the option days, was trying to find a way to have a little aerial assault back in the day, which warmed my heart to hear about that a little bit.
Yes, and my other stat is that the 2014 was option, and I think one time of possession in no games that year. Because they were so explosive. Explosive.
Yep.
Touchdowns.
And you do see, like, explosives help you win games.
Yep.
And footballscoop.com does a little breakdown of key stats and the records with those stats. And big ones this year right now are who wins the rushing battle,
yep,
who wins the turnover battle, somewhat who scores first.
Interesting.
Yep, that's an interesting one there, which maybe I got to rethink. But I feel confident our defense can get a stop and we can go score after that.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot of interesting stats, but explosives is in there as well, who's winning the explosive plays battle. So
it's really cool to think we're going to have a 17-play drive and control the ball for 10 minutes. That's really hard.
It's a hard thing to do.
And if you get one explosive and get you in the right spot.
Here's the deal. In the days of like, where it's so easy to have a lack of focus, right? We've had you change up ways you coach and approach practice with how long – different periods are and things to keep focus in those deals. Not rarely do you go 17 plays, 10-minute drives anymore without a mistake. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the world we're living in right now.
You guys are 4-2 when you score first this year, and you're 4-2 when you outrush your opponent.
Yep.
So there you go.
There's some key stats right there.
Yep. That's what SIDs do. And you know, 4-0 when forcing more turnovers, 1-3 when you don't.
Yep, so, turnovers. Yep. Turnovers rushing. Yep, all those things, man.
We're talking with Dusty Buehr here at Northwood Football Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mint. Big game. Every game's a big game. We take it one game at a time. We go out a flight of 5 or 60 minutes, blah, 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 blah. But this week, Finley. Finley is a very good team.
Yes.
Finley's got one loss. Finley is trying to find their way into the playoffs.
Regionally ranked right now in the playoffs as of right now. So we got our awesome opportunity in front of us to play a playoff opponent, one of the top teams in our conference. Coach Allen's probably one of the best coaches around. And he does a great job with their team. He's an O-line guy. He's going to, you know, try to misdirect you with your eyes defensively and create some explosives for them. They have some very able people on offense, running backs, a really good ball player. Pretty good up front, explosive guys out at wide receiver. They've overcome some injuries, it looks like, based on personnel who's been in and out. I assume that they'll be full strength for us this week. And then defensively, same thing. They're going to run things out of their base structure, do what they do, but they're going to try to bring extra hats to the party at times with, like, different pressures and how to get a fifth guy into the pressure. Occasionally bring six as well, play some three deep behind it. So, Finley, it's going to be an awesome opportunity for us to go on the road, play another great opponent. And, you know, we've played a few of those this year, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what our guys are made of this weekend.
Well, having said that, the nice thing last week is we saw us play a good home game because that's something we've talked about a lot this year. We generally have played better on the road than we have at home. Now, going back to last year, I think your most memorable win last year was against Finley. Finley came in as the leader in the GMAC, undefeated, and jumped out to a quick 14-0 lead, and just incredible. Last minute in the game was incredible too, where you guys needed about five things to go right for you to have a chance. They all did. 33-30 final, and really what an awesome game that was.
That's why timeouts are gold.
They are gold. They really are.
At the end of the game, so we were able to have all three of ours for their last series and put them in a decision to, you know, throw or run there, and we're able to get the ball back and gave us one more chance. And like I said, that we've had a game like that in the other end this year where
yes.
we used to give the opponent too many opportunities. So we're not going to sneak up on anybody anymore.
No.
I think at the end of the day now, our opponents know for the most – more often than not, we're going to come in, we're going to play hard, we're going to try to compete and do our best there and make it a great game and try to follow a process that allows us to be successful by the end of it.
Yeah, and their only loss was to Ashland. They were kind of rolling around, and Ashland really got them. And what did Ashland do in that game that allowed them to beat Findlay like that?
You know, I think you
football's
could,
a weird game,
yes,
too. I know.
Scores can be misleading a little bit, you know. Ashland played Ashland defense, you know what I'm saying? And, when you're in those games with Ashland, your defense better rise to the occasion, too. So I think at the end of the day, I can't say one way or the other because I wasn't there and what actually happened in that game. What I would say is Findlay – as they played a pretty tough non-conference schedule, you know, getting a GLIAC team in there, and they played Truman the opening game of the year, and you know Truman typically is in the top two in that conference, GLVC.
Yep.
So I know he's trying to put themselves in challenging positions or situations before getting into league play in our conference. So I can't say enough. I mean, they got a great staff down there, and they do a phenomenal job. There's a reason that they're consistently at the top and in the conversation, and they were picked to win the conference this year in the preseason polls, and technically still could.
Yep,
so,
yep, they're still right there.
Yep.
And it's their senior day, so you know they're going to be all fired up, ready to play. So
yeah, they will be.
Well, Coach, another great interview. I don't see any damage in the bar. I don't see any tears being shed right now.
Toko's a calming presence.
He is. That's veteran leadership right there.
Well, Toko's known JT since he was two.
Yeah.
Toko committed when John was born in the hospital. That wild story. A couple guys that are still that came up here with me from Albion, they were committed after Caitlin had gave birth to John in the hospital. So Caitlin's got a – she has an affinity for that group.
But yeah, yeah.
She was like, these guys better be as good as we think they're going
to be. for this hassle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, Coach, thanks for joining us. Good luck this weekend down at Findlay.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Travis. Appreciate everything you do for the program.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. We'll talk with Mark Toko when we come back. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Welcome back to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Our next guest is, I believe Coach Fish called you one of the old men of the team. He's a redshirt senior from Macomb, Dakota. Mark Toko, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Well, I think we got to start based on that story that Dusty just told us about you committing while Kate was about to give a baby. Is this true?
Yes, it is true.
I'd like to hear that story from your perspective.
Yeah, so I remember calling Coach B. This was, obviously 2019. That's a while ago.
Yeah, no.
But, I was calling him late at night. I was excited. All my family was around. I called him, told him I was coming. And I can just hear in the background him telling Miss Kate that I was coming, and I just heard her scream, and
that was not the scream of labor, that was the scream of joy. Is
no,
that true?
She was excited.
Okay, good.
I think so.
Yes, we get the inside scoop here. That's great. And so obviously you went to Albion with him. Mm-hmm. What other schools were you considering before you ended up going to Albion?
Kind of like MIAA schools.
Okay,
A couple of GLIAC schools wanted me to walk on as a receiver.
Yeah.
I was coming in as a quarterback, so I wanted to play quarterback.
Okay.
And Dusty wanted me to play quarterback, so it ended up working out.
Okay. So then when did you make the switch then to wide receiver?
Made the switch my beginning of sophomore year. Yep, me and Dusty talked about it and ended up working out for the good. So.
It did work out good. You were the MIAA player of the year your last year there.
Yes, sir.
And and then when Dusty decided to come, this is actually just talked to Teal about this last week too.
Mm-hmm.
When he made the decision to come to Northwood, mm-hmm. What were your thoughts? And that's obviously a tough decision, too, because you built relationships and Albion's been great to you. What made you decide to come to follow him to Northwood?
I mean, it was a pretty easy decision, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
We talked to him at the end of the year at Albion. When we knew, like, there was a chance he could go somewhere, I knew wherever it was I was going to follow him. So right when he got the job, I was pretty much knowing I was going to come here, and it ended up working out for the good. I like Northwood as a school, and obviously football's fun. So
yeah. Now I don't want to get sappy while he's sitting there. Listen, what is it about Coach B that makes him? Because I mean, obviously a lot of guys came, a lot of guys from Albion came, and they're still here. And what's about Coach B that makes you want to follow him around?
I always tell people this. I remember the first time me and Emmy walked into Dakota. About five of us brought us in a room. He kicked his feet up on the table, laid his rings out on the table, his conference championship rings, and he's telling us why he wants us to go to Albion. Like, I had no other coaches were doing that.
Yeah.
When other coaches were coming in, it was kind of like a snooze fest, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
And then Coach B comes in and just brings that energy. So, I mean,
One thing Coach B is not is a snooze fest.
Oh, no. So, I mean, that was pretty easy to gravitate to. So,
And I don't want to say anything, but he's passed that DNA on to his kids.
Yes,
because they're not a snooze fest either.
No, yes, he has. They're full of energy.
So when you got here, you've been battling injuries the last couple of years too, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, like, how are you feeling right now? How do you like where the offense is and everything?
I feel good. So I actually messed my knee up again during fall camp. I tore my meniscus last year. I kind of tweaked it again at the beginning of fall camp, so that wasn't fun. But, I mean, I had the choice either get surgery, be out 4 to 6 weeks, or just try and play through it. And I've been playing through it, and I think it was the right choice because right now, honestly, it feels really good. So
good.
And
good.
I'm also pretty old. So
yeah, as Coach Fish. Coach Fish said he's just an old man at this point. But, you know, when you guys came here, you and Teal, you were the primary guy, and Teal was – and then to see him explode and become the player he is, talk about how he's – where he was and where he is now.
Yeah, I mean, Teal's always honestly been like that. I knew he was like that from the beginning, ever since he came in as a freshman at Albion. Like, I knew he was going to be like that. He's faster than everybody. He runs the best routes. So, I mean, I'm happy for him right now. Last game, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That we put out there.
I feel bad that we didn't get that one-handed catch. That's a real
bummer. You guys didn't?
No, the camera didn't quite pan over and get it. So, seriously, I was Sports Center top 10. I thought when I saw it. I was like, oh, I got to get the thing. And then I watched the clip, and I'm like, oh, man. So
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we're talking with Mark Tocco here at Northwood Football Weekly live from Fricks on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. We talked about it with Coach B a little bit, but obviously quarterback switch last week. That's a tough thing to do. But like, talk about what you saw from Hamby last week and how we were going to progress forward with him.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was calm, cool, and collected, and you wouldn't be able to tell that he's a redshirt freshman.
For sure.
That's one thing about Hamby. He's going to go out there and ball no matter what. I mean, I've known Ethan. He went to Dakota, so I've known him. I've known him for a while, probably since he was in middle school. He went out there and balled out, and I'm happy for him.
And the thing is, it's actually funny because Albion's had a lot of Dakota guys, but Northwood has had a ton of Dakota. Yeah. It's kind of this weird double triangle thing now where Albion and Northwood have had a ton of Dakota guys over the years. So this week you got Finley, the Oilers, a great game last year, and I don't think you were not able to play in that game. Tough place to play. You got to be real excited for this game this weekend.
I'm real excited. Being able to go there, you know, I love away games and like when we're being doubted, so. We're excited as a team just to go out there and prove what we can do. Everybody's doubting us, don't think we can win. So, I mean, I think those are the best type of games to play.
And I think, like we've talked about on the show, I think you guys have played better. Now, Ohio Dominican last week was a great game. But overall, I think you guys have played better on the road than you have at home this year.
Yeah, I would say so, too. I mean, even against Ashland, we didn't put up the performance we wanted to. But I thought it was a neck-and-neck game till the end. So.
Yeah, and that close, whatever it was, from pulling out that win.
Yeah.
And so, I like to ask the position guys, like the receiver group that you get to work with. Talk about those guys and how you guys work together.
Oh man, we call ourselves the Rideouts. we got a pretty close knit group. I mean, me and Teal are the old guys in the group. Yep. Angelo too. We're all fifth or sixth year seniors. So I mean, being able to bring those younger guys in and show them the way. Coach Arnold does a great job of coaching us up and making sure we got an aggressive mindset. So I mean. We got a pretty good group this year.
Yeah, and I think the freshmen are really exciting too. There's a talented group of guys too.
For sure. Braylon, Carter Minix, they've been dealing with injuries all year, which sucks. Kind of the whole receiver room's been dealing with some injuries.
Yeah, it really has.
But those guys got some real bright futures. I'm excited for them.
Well, we always wrap up with what's your major? What do you hope to do when you get done with college? What do you hope to do when you get done with football?
Yeah, my major, so I'm finishing up my master's right now, organizational leadership. Right after the season, I'm going to go help out my dad with coaching basketball at Macomb, Dakota. So I've always wanted to do that. My undergrad was in marketing, so I'll probably get a job with something with marketing. Still trying to figure all that out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two more games left to finish
you
out.
Yeah. Are you through May then for your master's?
I'll finish up in May.
So you got an eternity.
I got some time.
Yeah, and high school coaching involved in your future, you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Definitely basketball right away with my dad, but still figuring out football.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll happen. Yeah. So, Togo, thanks for joining us. Great job. Sure. Really enjoyed watching you play the last couple years, and hope we get a couple wins to finish the season.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We'll take a break. Come back with women's basketball coach Autumn Hagedone. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Welcome back to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. Our next guest is the women's basketball coach. Third season? Fourth season. Gosh, time flies by. Speaking of flying by, the fall's flown by, and we are opening the season tomorrow, 4 o'clock in Saginaw Valley, Saturday at 4 against Lake State. I'll let you talk at some point. Autumn Hagedone, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So how have you... preseason, you going through the camp, how you feeling going into the year right now?
Good. Obviously, as we look at this season coming into it, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point, we graduated what feels like, you know, almost everybody, and add 7 new faces to the roster. So we've gotten into it. We've got a lot of new faces that are excited, energetic, bring a ton of personality. So it's been a really fun couple of months.
Yeah, this is for fans of the program. Obviously, you guys are coming up a 20-win season, finishing tied for second in the regular season, the GMAC. A really, really good season. But this is a new-look team. You mentioned six leading scorers, 5 of them graduated. So it's going to be a new look for you guys this year.
Yeah, and kudos to those seniors that graduated. I can't, thank everything they've done for our program enough. They decided to come back for 5 and 6 years, which is not common in this day and age with the transfer portal. They were loyal to Northwood, and we're so grateful for that. But a lot of the returners still were a part of that,
Yep.
So, we add 7 new faces, but we return a lot of people that were a part of something really awesome last season where we hosted, our first GMAC tournament game. And as we know, the crowd was amazing. It was a great atmosphere. And whether you, graduate or come back from that, getting a taste of it, it just makes you that much more amped up for the season.
Now, having said that, yes, you lost a lot of those players, but I think the thing that made you guys so good last year was your balance, because you had nobody averaging over 13 points per game, but you averaged 74 points per game. And so Maddie Volker is back. She was your leading scorer last year. And so I think, per se, the balance was great, but now – everybody's got a chance to have a bigger role because of all the people that have lost.
Yeah, there's a lot of shoes to fill, that's for sure. It's nice having Kenzie Todd on staff as a GA.
Yep.
So she's been encouraging and helping people in a different way, which has been really awesome for me to see, and obviously our team to see her in that light. But we still have some of her knowledge and wisdom and work ethic that they can grow and learn from in that aspect. But, yeah, returning Maddie, she's a multi, level scorer. She can shoot the 3. She's a strong guard. She, can play any position on the floor. 1 through 5 pretty much. So having that returning has been really helpful.
And I think, the thing that I think, looking at your roster and how the season's going to unfold, you've been very guard heavy in terms of your offense. Like Jayla and Ava produced, Jayla Strickland, Ava D'Amelia were scoring threats for you, but largely most of your scoring came from the perimeter and perimeter oriented players. Well, it kind of feels like this year it might be a little bit different for you guys.
Yeah, I just think we've definitely lived by the 3 and died by the 3 in some occasions in the last couple years. When you have phenomenal 3-point shooters, that's going to come with it, right? But this year, I think our ability to get into the paint, post up, drive, finishes, all that stuff is going to be, I think, a much bigger role than shooting the 3.
Yeah, and you're looking at your roster, the players that are coming back and stuff. Who has stood out to you so far early in camp? Who's really been the players that have stood out to you that you're excited to see?
Obviously, we talked about Maddie quite a bit, so I can skip over Maddie. Her leadership on top of everything that I mentioned has been phenomenal this whole preseason into season. And then Maeve St. John, obviously a huge spark for us off the bench last year, is in a new role this year. And it's been pretty amazing just to see that transition, because it's easy for her to be a spark off the bench, because that's part of her energizer personality. But for this season, to see her really understand, to lock in, to have to understand concepts, to understand, you know, like what can we do to put our team in the best position to win? She loves basketball, and it's really nice to talk to her about those things. And I feel like she's just really a student of the game right now, learning and growing a ton every day.
And she's, well, you've got some other players too, but like Lart, she's going to handle the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Maisie Taylor was an incredible player for us. We all love Maisie Taylor.
Yep.
Maisie Taylor at times was not a score first point guard. I think Maeve,
score
first point guard is, we just talked about how you're going to not be as guard heavy scoring, but for you to be your best, Maeve's got to be one of your league scorers this year.
For sure. And I think she sets the tone and sets the tempo in that regard. And man, Maisie Taylor, I could go on for hours about her selflessness and how good she was as our point guard and our floor general, but it's been fun. It's been an interesting change, even to help me in coaching, like just to see, you know, wow, like, she does some incredible things in practice, and it's pretty remarkable to see.
Well, that's one of the things you kind of alluded to it right there, what I was going to talk about, because you and I have talked privately that, like, this is the first time that you've got some things to figure out. Like, this is your fourth year. Your first 3 years, we mentioned those five seniors, all those upperclassmen that were fifth-year seniors, they were all key players their whole career. Like, this year you came into the camp going, like, well, we got to figure some things out about position and starters and how we're going to play and everything.
For sure, So it's been fun to see, you know, different offenses, different things that we're going to throw at teams that, you know, they might not have seen in the past. So I think that part is going to be exciting. Different is always sometimes exciting, along with, you know, some of the same things we've always done. So just focusing right now on what we have and what our strengths are so that we know what to take advantage of in games.
We're talking with Autumn Hagedorn here in Northwood Football Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. This is a hard question to ask and have an answer for when you're playing games, especially with an opponent that could be listening to the show right now. But, like, you guys are adjusting a lot of the things you do just based on personnel. You're not going to run the same plays you saw last year. Things are a little bit different. And how has the team adjusted? Because a lot of these players are back.
Yeah.
That ran that offense. Hey, and I'm – there's a lot of things that are similar.
Right.
But there's, you guys have made some adjustments. How have they adjusted to how you're playing slightly differently this year?
I think once you see success, it becomes easier. Where at the beginning of the year, it was kind of like, okay, why are we doing this? What are we doing? What's the point of this? You know, like, why? Well, this doesn't work that good. And it's like, okay, we'll just buy it and trust the process.
Yep.
And we've seen growth in a lot of different areas that, you know, we didn't really excel at last season. So it's just been excited to see them buy in and really trust the process to have success.
I think process might be the most used word on this show. Dusty, Tom Church used process last year, this week too. So you mentioned big group of newcomers. How have they adapted to what you guys are trying to do?
Yeah, and I think when I say the word newcomers, obviously we have, you know, five freshmen. So we have a lot of physically new people and then two transfers in Alex Kalnitis and Malin McNeely. But as far as, like, even just people who are on the team last year that didn't play, right?
Yeah,
so we have two
people
coming back from, you know, redshirt injury, and Ella Miller and Leah Holmes, and I'm excited for them to get the opportunity this season to grow and get better and have more of a post presence down low.
Yeah, that's where you guys appear to be, like we have actually kind of always, even going back to the Jeff Curtis days, kind of been like a little undersized at the four historically. Mm-hmm. But this year, theoretically, if things go the way we think they're going to, you're going to have essentially what would traditionally be called two centers on the floor as your four and five.
Yeah.
And that presents a different set of matchup issues for your opponents.
Yeah, it does. And for as long as I can remember, our one through fours were all pretty much the same size, the same, probably outside of my first year with Carly Harrington and Taylor Kramer taking us way back. But yeah, the having the height and the size advantage and the strength advantage at the four and the five makes such a difference in our game, because you just don't see it across the division.
Yeah, because really, I mean, the positionless basketball has become the thing, and now it's so it'll be interesting to see, because it's just something that very few Division II teams have, and we really haven't had it, because it was you never know how the ball's gonna fall, and you gotta adjust to what you got. This weekend, Saginaw Lake State, it's the however many years in a row we've opened with these two teams. This is they always are really good games. They're all really tough games against two teams, and you get them at home this year. Talk about what you're looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I hope we can keep this, you know, tradition going as long as we can. Ever since we entered the GMAC, we've started this opening weekend with the GMAC or GLIAC crossover. So having Saginaw Valley first and Lake State second, both super competitive teams. Obviously, Lake State has a new coach this season, so I'm excited to see what she brings. But yeah, it's always a traditional game, but you know, something that you know we look forward to with it being two teams not too far away.
Oh yeah, two teams that everybody knows each other really well, even after all these years of us in our third year in the GMAC. And so I actually gave the floor at one point to Dusty.
Okay.
To talk about you when you for one of these nights,
because
it was the night we did the show from here, and you guys
and we
saw you walk in, and he said nice things about you. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to say nice things about Dusty Buehler, our football coach.
Okay, well, I've known Dusty for a really long time. We go way back to Albion days, and he is an amazing role model to look up to, just to see, you know, his energy, his passion, his excitement for not only football but Northwood University. Now, you know, I saw it at Albion, and I knew he'd bring that same passion here. And he's gone above and beyond, just like what he does in the community, what he does even for, you know, helping me with recruiting, all that stuff. I mean, he's always down to help in any way. And it's proven true to show that, you know, those little things make a big difference in a program. And as he's continuing to grow the Northwood football culture.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty – he's very similar things about you. Okay. And like, called you one of his favorite people he knows and all that stuff.
Oh, wow,
so,
man.
Yeah,
he
so
was better than me.
You both did really well. You both did really well because you said nice things about you. And then if you really want to know what Autumn thinks, ask privately off the air. I'm just kidding. We all love Dusty. And
yes.
So anyway, Friday at 4 o'clock against Saginaw Valley, Saturday at 4 o'clock against Lake State, right here in Reitman Arena. Should be a lot of fun. Always exciting to get the basketball season going. And we will be – actually, I don't know if I even told you, our first day of the basketball show will be first week of December, right before we start conference play, on Tuesday nights coming forward. So –
perfect.
Anyway, there you go, everybody. Breaking news. So, Autumn Hagedorn, thanks. Good luck this weekend against Saginaw Lake State.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the show. You're listening to Northwood Football Weekly, live from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mid. Welcome back to Northwood Football Weekly as we wrap up the show here from Frick's on Sports Radio 100.9 The Mid. Northwood Athletics would like to thank My Michigan Health for sponsoring this year's Coaches Show. My Michigan is a nonprofit health system headquartered here in Midland and is affiliated with Michigan Medicine, the healthcare division of the University of Michigan. We'd also like to thank Sandy Ridge Golf Course for their support of the show as well. Sandy Ridge is going to be the home, official home of Northwood Golf Outings starting next year. And we really enjoy our partnership with Sandy Ridge and looking forward to seeing that new clubhouse when it gets completed and in full action next year. It is a busy week in Northwood Athletics, even with the football team. You mentioned the game is at noon on Saturday at Findlay. The video, live stat links, all for free, are up on GoNorthwood.com. You can easily go check that out. Pretty easy drive to get from Midland to Findlay as well. So a nice little road trip to go down and support our Timberwolves at Findlay. However, if you don't want to do that, there's lots of opportunities to see Northwood Athletics at home here on campus this weekend. As we mentioned, the women's basketball team will open their season Friday against Saginaw Valley at 4 o'clock. Should be a lot of fun. Like, those are always great games between the Cardinals and the Timberwolves. 4 o'clock here in Reitman Arena. And then you can stick around for a big volleyball match at 7 o'clock. Northwood currently tied for third in the GMAC standings, one game behind second place Findlay. Findlay is in town Friday night at 7 o'clock. The winner of that game is kind of in the driver's seat to potentially finish second in the conference. Top four teams host opening round GMAC tournament games. So a lot on the line for the Northwood volleyball team this weekend, 7 o'clock Friday against Findlay. Men's basketball also opens their season on the road. They are at Ferris State to take on the defending Midwest Regional Champions, the Ferris State Bulldogs. That's at 7 o'clock. Should be a lot of fun for them, too, this year. Tom Church getting the program rolling this season so far. So 7 o'clock on Friday is their opening night. Saturday, as we mentioned, football at noon against Findlay. Also at noon on Saturday at home is a women's soccer quarterfinal. The third-seeded Timberwolves will host six-seeded Malone. Northwood defeated Malone earlier this season 1-0 in a game I believe they outshot the Pioneers 21-2 in. But the final was only 1-0. The winner, that's a big matchup from Northwood. Another great season for Michael Corhonen and Savannah Wallace and the staff. The Timberwolves are ranked sixth in the region. Top seven make it, looking for their second straight trip to the NCAA tournament, after having never made it in program history prior to last year. And then also this weekend at home, the volleyball will fat wrap up their weekend on Senior Day Saturday, 1 o'clock against Tiffin. That's another big match there. Tiffin also a very good team that plays in the same division as Northwood, 1 o'clock for that one.
women's basketball against Lake State. That's at 4 o'clock on Saturday as well. So we got Lake State on Friday, like Saginaw Valley on Friday, Lake State on Saturday for women's basketball. You've got Findlay on Friday and Tiffin for volleyball on Friday and Saturday. You got Malone for women's soccer at noon. And men's basketball will wrap their weekend against the defense. We mentioned Ferris won the regional last year. Lake Superior State was the regional finalist that lost to Ferris. Northwood will also play Lake Superior this weekend. That's at 5 o'clock Saturday at Ferris State. Lots of stuff going on. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a great weekend for Northwood Athletics. So hope to see you all out and about or supporting Northwood any way you can. I'd like to thank all of our guests tonight, Dusty Buehr, Mark Tocco, and Adam Hagedone. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back next week for the season finale, Northwood Football Weekly. This is Travis McCurdy signing off. Have a great night, everybody.